Len Fisher here, and today I want to talk about two tragedies. The tragedy of the Australian bushfires will be with us for some time. I live in the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney. As I sit at my desk, I'm looking out at the blackened wreckage of what used to be our bush garden. It could have been worse. We might have lost our home if we had not cleared hazardous material before the fires came. Our foresight paid off. The fireys could get to the clear space without risk to themselves, and the house was saved. The clearing of hazardous materials has been a very real issue with the bushfires. The fires could be seen from space. Images from orbiting spacecraft were a significant tool in the firefighting effort. But those very spacecraft are now facing and even contributing to a tragedy of their own. As with the bushfires, there is a major problem with the clearing of hazardous materials in orbit around the globe. The hazards were spelt out at a recent meeting of Australia's four scholastic academies, sponsored by the Royal Society of New South Wales. Commercial and military satellites are proliferating to such an extent that ours may be the last generation to have a reasonably unobstructed view of the night sky. Collisions have already occurred. The fragments can hit other satellites and cause further cascading collisions. Scientists call this the Kessler effect. The Kessler effect can occur at all heights. It is particularly severe for satellites in geostationary orbit. This is the height where the satellite stays above a particular point on the Earth's surface. The orbit is packed with satellites, and demand for the limited slots exceeded supply a decade ago. Elon Musk's Starlink program is planned to place many thousands of small satellites at a high level in space over the next decade. It is intended to offer cheaper and more accessible broadband, but it threatens to damage Earth-based astronomical observations. Other planned satellites from different nations are aimed to help with communication and security, but there's cross-interference with the frequencies used. Some of these could degrade crucial satellite measurements of water vapour. This really matters, especially for monitoring and dealing with climate change. President Trump has now ordered the creation of a space force. He aims to secure and extend American dominance of the space domain, which he describes as a new warfighting domain. But the US is not the first to think in this way. In 2013, the Chinese Academy of Military Sciences announced that whoever controls space controls the Earth. Competition for military supremacy not only threatens our security, it also threatens to disrupt the peaceful use of space. The threat is exacerbated by the sharing of data obtained from spacecraft. This sharing is important for weather forecasting, dealing with global challenges, and other society-benefiting objectives. But what happens when drug cartels, people smugglers, and rogue nations get their hands on the data through purchase or theft? Communications have benefited enormously from our use of space, but there are risks, including hacking, propaganda, and even space terrorism. Many of these possibilities had not even been thought of when the General Assembly of the United Nations drew up treaties for the use of space between 1967 and 1984. They expressed the pious hope that the treaties would serve to enable peaceful cooperation. The present scramble to fill space with objects that have conflicting priorities shows that that hope has not been fulfilled. It's a classic case of the tragedy of the commons, where competitive overuse of a communal resource threatens all users. The tragedy of the commons should really be taught in schools. It lies at the heart of many of our most serious problems. The name came from a story told by the American ecologist Garrett Hardin. It concerned a group of farmers grazing their sheep on common land at maximum capacity. All was well, until one decided to add an extra sheep. There would be slightly less grass per sheep, but logically, he would still make a profit. But the others then used the same logic. The commons became overgrazed and they all lost out. When you think about it, it is obvious that many of our most serious problems are versions of the tragedy of the commons. Climate change, loss of habitat, the ongoing refugee crisis, even some aspects of the Australian bushfires. Hardin argued that coercive state involvement or privatisation were the only two ways to avert the tragedy. The Nobel laureate Eleanor Ostrom strongly disagreed. She showed that users often develop self-governing institutional arrangements to regulate the commons and avoid the problem. None of these solutions is working in the case of space. But there is a possible answer based on the Montreal Protocol. This was developed in 1987 in response to the global threat posed by the newly discovered hole in the ozone layer. Nations banded together to ban the manufacture and use of ozone-depleting substances, especially refrigerants. The protocol worked because it included a provision that signatories should refuse to trade with non-signatories. The major economic powers saw that it was in their interest to sign up. This provided a powerful incentive for other nations to do likewise. Trade in space consists of information rather than objects, but it is still in the interest of all nations to cooperate. With some 50 nations already up there, the opportunity exists for an economically driven agreement with similar provisions to the Montreal Protocol. History shows us that the tragedy of the commons is a hard nut to crack. Too often, the supposedly rational pursuit of individual self-interest trumps the benefits of cooperation. In space, we have an opportunity to reverse the trend. If we don't take it, we are in danger of trashing our home in space even more effectively than we have managed to here on Earth.
Len Fisher, Ig Nobel Prize winner and Professor of Physics from the Blue Mountains west of Sydney.